Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to BAM. That is short for Bible and Music, a new form of the show that I've been trying out for this year. I brought back a special guest, Cody Terry, to be on the show. She has been making some really powerful personal videos on her YouTube channel that I'd like for her to point people towards. And the one that sparked the conversation interest this time around that I wanted her to give sort of an extended brief review about to point people towards is her decision to stop listening to secular music. Now, I know this might sound extreme depending on the listener, but I'm not sure if I even told Cody this before, but I had a similar experience many years ago where the reason why I know as much Christian music today, if not more so than secular music, to like the same knowledge effect when I do both genres on my other shows, is because I also took a 3-month detox back in the day of, I think when in my teenage years or early teenage years, and I said, God, I know all the genres of music I like in the world. There has to be some alternatives here. I probably am just not seeing it, or I need to give it more time and attention to find out if there's these kind of people out there. And lo and behold, doesn't happen to everybody, but God was honorable enough towards me to give me the privilege of discovering a whole world of artists that I didn't know about if I did not take that 3-month detox. So I'm not saying I've now permanently quit secular music. I've actually now gone back and tried to get a lot more knowledge of secular music in general since I was raised up in a much more strict spiritual childhood. But at the same token, without that 3-month detox, I think it wouldn't have given me the perspective I am to talk to both audiences today and also have a better understanding of where our hearts should be when inclined to the faith in Christ and also in the kind of music that we entertain. But now I want to get the story behind Cody's decision on why she made that same decision and how is it impacting her life now and what other people have responded towards the video. So what's your thoughts, Cody?
Yeah, thanks. So as far as, well, it's great to hear, you know, that you went through it too. I think that's true. It opened up a world, or just a world of different artists that I didn't realize was there, because it pushed me as well to look harder into the genres that I liked. Because I love R&B. I like, you know, I like alternative type music. I like singer-songwriter. I like all the genres, but opera, that's what I say. Yeah. And Screamo, I still can't get into, but but I'm pretty sure there's Christian versions of that. So like, I learned and I saw that there's a lot of artists out there in these different genres that are Christian and spreading the gospel. So that was beautiful to see. For me, what kind of got me into it was, it was kind of a wake-up call when I was getting closer to God. I was, you know, listening. I was still listening to all types of music because for me, it was all about the beat. It was all about the music and the melody. I barely ever paid attention to the lyrics themselves. And I got caught up in listening to songs that had crazy lyrics, like crazy. Like, there are some secular songs that are like, oh, that's, you know, that's life, you know? But there are some secular songs that, when I say it's all about sex and lust and witchcraft and a whole crazy amount of stuff that I'm not trying to dwell on and get my mind in, I was listening to it because I wasn't listening to the lyrics, nor was I trying to or paying much attention, or did I think it was a big thing until I was called out and was like, what the heck are you listening to, by a friend? And I'm grateful for her, but it made me think about it more. I was also listening to a lot of songs that were kind of, they were about heartbreak, that were very sad filled. Of course, people go through hard times and was, you know, they want to express how they feel, and that's good. We want to do that. But I noticed in Psalms when David did it, there was also an end of hope. There was also still a lifting of praise to God. And it was, he was doing it to God and confessing his feelings to God. Whereas these songs, you don't listen to them and then end feeling in hope, or end up feeling any better than when you started. You end up feeling worse, or at least I was. Right. So a lot of the music I was listening to, I was not feeling any better, but worse after I was listening to it. And then I was also filling my mind up with all these lustful thoughts and all that stuff by listening to the other songs. So I wanted to do a test. I was like, let me cut out secular music for a month. I was like, you know, only gospel, here I am, because I thought that's all there was. And so once I cut it out, I started to notice that after I listened to the song, I felt better. I felt more hopeful. I felt more at peace. I just felt a whole lot better and not as muddled in the mind. And I was like, why am I consistently listening to music that's making me feel worse? So I just kept it out. You know, I just was like, why ever go back to that? Let me just keep secular music out.
I'm not going back, moving ahead.
And as I continued in that journey and found other artists, I just didn't feel the need to go back to secular music. But also I realized, for myself at least, that I wanted to dwell on music that honored God, was about God, that worshiped God, so that my mindset was always on Jesus, so I always had the mind of Christ. Yes. And the Bible talks about meditating on the word day and night, praying continuously. I can consistently do that as long as if my music is always about him. So that's kind of how I thought of it and what I've seen. And for me, it's not worth going to the other music because of what I said, but also it's just kind of a lazy thinking. I didn't want to spend energy and so much time trying to figure out if this song is okay to listen to. So a lot of songs are secular. Like I always mentioned Happy by Pharrell Williams.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
That are totally fine. Or like other songs are just fine. They're great. But I don't want to try to figure out and listen to these lyrics, every single line, and try to look them up on Google or whatever to make sure that they're okay and fine, you know, and not dishonoring God. And that's what I was having to do before when I realized I was listening to crazy stuff. So I just didn't want to spend time doing that. I did that enough with movies and TV shows. Yeah. So I was like, just forget it. I'm just going to stick to Christian. So it's kind of the background as to why I still am like this today.
Yes.
Awesome. That's so awesome. Now, another thing I wanted to be very careful and tactful of while I do this show with you is I wanted to make sure it was, even though I'm not going to sit here and let any of your beliefs go unchallenged, at the same time, I wanted this to be more of a celebration of that decision, if for lack of a better term. I didn't want this to be an overcritical show where I'm only disagreeing with your opinion the whole time or not hearing the heart behind of what you're saying. But to me, every single thing you said is honestly of the most legitimate importance. And when it comes to purifying the soul, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is saying something to you, even if he's not, even if no one else in the room is feeling it, you have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I just really appreciate you being that bold to make a decision like this. I'm glad that you're experiencing the bearing of the fruits of this decision. And before we get into my next question for you, I'm going to turn our attention to the first scripture that I sent you, which is Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 9. I'll read it in the easy-to-read version. And so starting with, always remember these commands that I give you today. Be sure to teach them to your children. Talk about these commands when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your foreheads to help you remember my teachings, and write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. The one thing I love about these verses is that it's pretty much God's reminder to set an atmosphere of reminders, pun intended. In other words, that it's almost like how you have the 116 crew when they got into that whole movement of the 116 tattoo because they want to keep reminding themselves of the Romans 116 anthem. That's what God was calling them to, is that like basically everywhere you look, when you look at your skin, you look at your walls, you look at your house, you look at your doorposts, I want there to be reminders of who God is, reminders of my peace, reminders of my tranquility, reminders of my spirit within your house. Reminding yourself that you're not like all the other tribes out there. You're not like all the other nations out there. You have been called out, set apart. And you're basically creating an atmosphere to continue to feed that knowledge that you've been called to a higher calling. So how do you practice that on a daily basis? I know you've already mentioned a big one, which is, you know, no longer entertaining secular music. But what are other ways that you keep reminding yourself that you're a daughter of God, whether it be in your interior design or in your car or on your way to work, what have you?
No, that's a good question, and I'm still working on this personally. I want to engage in this more because I recently read this not that long ago as I'm trying to read through the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, we mentioned the music, so that's been very helpful. Something that I did at work, when I first started working, I felt very anxious a lot for some reason, and I was just being a whole hot mess. And so, of course, God brought to mind to pray, but also it's been helpful to bring a Bible verse frame that we had and put it on my desk. And for some reason, just the word of God, I guess his power, his spirit, or just that reminder, calm me down where I don't feel that anymore. And I've been writing scriptures on my notepads and like putting them on the wall on my cubicle to help always bring that to reminder. Like whenever I need a reminder, whenever I want to look toward it or need some hope or, you know, work, I was just tired from working, you know?
Yes.
So that's been very helpful. Something that I thought about when I grew up that was helpful for me, I went to a Christian school, and something that they had in the gym was Colossians 3:23. If I quoted that wrong, I'm sorry, but it's whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for men. And the reason that I know that scripture by heart, besides possibly the scripture reference, was because it was plastered on the wall. Mm-hmm. And every time I went to gym class, big letters, it was on the wall. You couldn't look away from it. So I want to have more of that in my house. We have, you know, one verse in my house, but I want more of that as well to always remember and look at. So still getting better.
Mm-hmm. And of course, this will manifest itself in different ways depending on who you are or depending how the Holy Spirit will lead you. It doesn't mean I'm begging you to put 50 plasters of scriptures on your walls or like 100 bumper stickers on the back of your car. I'm not asking you to do that unless the Holy Spirit is telling you to do so. But whatever creative ways you can find to constantly remind yourself of who you are in Christ, that's kind of the gist of what we're saying. So, in light of that, the first video I want you to react to is, switching gears here a bit, is a song called America Again, and this is by an artist named Carmen. He was one of the very first revolutionary Christian artists back in the 80s and 90s to appeal to a wider genre audience by introducing genres into Christian music that were never introduced before. So he pretty much was the Toby Mac before there was a Toby Mac. So without people like Carmen and Toby Mac, we would not have the diversity that we have in Christian music today, pretty much. So anyway, getting back to him, this song has to deal with the spiritual state of America. Mind you, this was written in the 90s, but it could have been written yesterday. That's how relevant I feel it is. Anyway, I'll have you react to that, and then we'll continue our conversation.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay. Names synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, you need God in America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, you can't have national morality apart from religious principle, and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is put God in America again. The only hope for America is
is Jesus, the only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again.
Abe Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that Word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vexes us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is gonna fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. It's time, America, to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand, and send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from, and let the Word of God revive our dying land. For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all His glory, and every eye shall see Him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power is coming on us to boldly tell the world you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you, your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers, because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms and start handing out the Word of God in schools. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say we need God in America again. I know the only hope for America is Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was America Again by Carmen. Before I get Cody's reaction to it, my standout lines from that song are, America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vex us all. When it gets to the point when people would rather come out the closet than clean it, that's the sign the judgment of God is going to fall. And then my other favorite line is, if you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms and start handing out the Word of God in schools. Anyway, what's your thoughts on it? Did you learn anything from it or grasp anything from it? Or have you heard it all before?
No. That's so true. And it's so relevant, like you said, still now. It was really good. And it's interesting because I just talked to Joshua about this like some days ago. Because the whole, you know, like you said, this song came out before, you know, the slogan, Make America Great Again and that kind of thing. And not to say that I agree or disagree, but I was thinking about how, obviously, we're like, you know, it was racism back then. There was always racism before now, so we don't want that. But yeah. I was telling him, like, but back then there was, just like what he was saying in this video, a stance on Christian morals and principles and values. Not to say that everyone was following that and, you know, it was all doing that, but governmentally, in the most part, in the culture, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's probably a lot of religion in there, but that was something I can understand someone saying, we want to go back to that part of it. When we're not ashamed of the gospel and also not wanting to take that out of the schools, we want it in the schools and things like that. So when you see hotels have Bibles in their things, which I think they still do, but I want them to be more present because of what he mentioned. But yes, and we see in the media more sexualization, more just all of that, everything, all in the media and everything. So it was interesting. I was just talking to Joshua about this. So yes, this video is great.
Yeah. And like I said, I definitely think it has timeless relevancy to it. And then, of course, in the subject that you brought up, that's like saying that, you know, slavery didn't exist in Old Testament times. It also existed in Old Testament times. Yeah. The only thing is that God wasn't them pointing them back to slavery. He was pointing them back to, even if evil existed, there was still a strong consciousness of God. It wasn't like a day and age where people were no longer conscious of even the existence of God. And it's that reverence and consciousness is what we need to, you know, bring back. Because despite all the evils that still occur to this day, it's that consciousness that'll help us survive it. Without that consciousness, all these is just going to fall to the knowledge and wisdom of man, which Bible, you know, the Bible says, let every man lie and let God be true. No matter how creative of answers we come up with, all our science and all our psychology will always pale in comparison to the hope of Jesus. So anyway, that's that. Let's get into our next scripture, which is Colossians 3, verse 2. Think only about what is up there, not as what is here on earth. So this has a dual meaning, but I don't feel like it's appropriate for me to mention the dual meaning because I feel like that's enough content for another show. But for right now, we're going to focus on the mental part, which is to think about heavenly things to get us through this earthly life. How important is it for you to understand the parables that Jesus taught in his lifetime? And how does that relate to helping you live practically in your daily life, the lessons you learn from his parables?
Interesting that you brought up specifically Jesus's parables. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of what his parables say is how to live now, how to live well, but also, yeah, how to have hope for the future and what to expect for the future. For example, one of how to live now and how to live well now is like the parable of the talents, when he gave this many talents to one person, this many talents to another person, and this many talents to another person. One person doubled it, I think, or something like that. Honestly, I hope I'm not mixing up parables, but whichever one, you know, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah. One person doubled it, one person kept it the same, and one person buried it to save it and hold on to it. And Jesus is honoring the one who doubles it, the one who takes who's given talents or given this and goes and multiplies it. So that's an example of how we can live in our lives with the gifts that God's given us and our finances, with what the finances God's blessed us with, those and the ideas and those type of things. So that's something how we can live now. And then the other parable of what to expect for the future and why to hold on to Jesus strong as we're living now and to always be ready for his return is the, you know, the parable of the lanterns. Yeah. I like the parable of this, but I read the Bible, but I don't necessarily memorize it verbatim yet. But where some people had lanterns that were lit, they were ready. Some people didn't, and the people who didn't have the oil to light their lanterns to go follow, I think, or there's something like that. It was like they asked the people with the lanterns, if you know what I'm talking about, to like give them some oil or something. But then the people at Atlantis says too late or something like that. And then there's the wedding. There's a lot of parables, I feel like, that teach you on life and that teach you how to prepare for Christ's coming and to prepare and to make note of that. So for me, I know I dwell a lot on the ones that teach about life and how to live now. I think I want to be more heaven-minded as well. Not so much that I don't care about what's going on now, but like, remember that that's what we're going toward. That's what we're looking toward, and to be ready. So I think for me, my preparation is being as close to God as I can so that I can be ready, so I can do what he's calling me to do now, because there's a reason he's calling me to do things now, to prepare for his return, to bring as many people to him as possible in preparation for his return. So I just, I guess, building my relationship with him and trying to obey what he says, I guess, is my preparation with those parables.
Awesome. So parables for you has been like an educational experience spiritually of the bigger scope of the future of what God wants you to be focused on, preparing the way for Christ's return and for his reign as, the Bible puts it, the iron ruler, meaning most people think there's only an evil term for a dictator, but in reality, the only righteous dictator to ever exist is Jesus himself, because no one elected him to that position. He was not chosen by humans for that position. He was placed there since the beginning of time by God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity that's always existed. So therefore, when he comes down to this earth and all the governments and kings of the earth fall before him, it is because he will be reigning with the same iron fist that he's always reigned with, except we won't be the fearful ones because we are bought by the blood of Jesus. The only thing that will strike fear are those who didn't repent before it was too late. Getting into the next selection here for your reaction, we are going to go to, I believe it's number 14 on your list, A Witch's Invitation by Carmen.
One peaceful afternoon, I picked up from my mailbox the strangest looking letter I'd ever seen. A chilling little envelope bordered with flying bats and eerie serpents whose eyes were tinted green. Now, the letter was addressed to me, so as I opened it, I froze. What I read turned my complexion three shades of blue. It said, "My name is Isaac Horowitz. I'm a male witch, a warlock, and I feel I need to spend some time with you." Now, as a Christian from a little church with God's call on my life, a man of faith and power with a challenge to grow, I did what any saint would do in my situation. I tore it up, said, "Lord, no way I'm gonna go." Then gently and methodically, the Holy Spirit spoke and reminded me, we're God's voice to our nation. It's the church's responsibility to witness. So reluctantly, I accepted this witch's invitation. He had the house you'd expect, the old English cottage, a Nightmare on Elm Street special right to the core, the overgrown ivy, the gate that creaked when opened. Somehow you'd expect Freddy to answer this door. The doorbell rang, a hollow gong, the knob twisted, then opened, and Isaac stood before me with a grin. His jet black hair and well-trimmed beard flowed with his black silk clothes. My skin crawled as he said, "Please, come on in." His house was filled with every occultic symbol you could fathom. Hanging pentagrams and horoscope signs. A Ouija board and Dungeons and Dragons games set on the table. A crystal ball with an incandescent shine. And graciously, he handed me some steaming herbal tea. Its presence caused my memory to jog. I thought of every horror flick I'd seen when I was a kid and thought, man, you drink this stuff, next day you'll be a frog. Then he led me to a high back chair as he meticulously began to unfold his scenario with evil patience. I was given a giant leather-bound book jammed with newspaper clippings, thus the reason for this witch's invitation. With eagerness, he pointed to each article with pride. He said, "I healed this woman through a Babylonian chant. You see, this man, I cured him while performing druid worship. I was paid to curse this man with AIDS by his aunt." On and on, page after page, delightfully he flaunted each incident for an hour without a breath. He said, "Do you realize through my understanding of the dark regions that I can make you rich or even curse someone to death?" I sat literally intimidated by his immensity and demon power, while his face shone with a satanic arrogant bliss. Then placing his hands on the arms of my chair and leaning into my face, he said, "What can your God do to compete with this?" I knew then how Moses felt when his rod turned to a serpent, and the three Egyptian magicians did the same. It's as if you're sitting there in that stunned moment where your faith gets violated, and all you feel is weak, powerless, and lame. I desperately and deeply prayed, saying, "Jesus, give me wisdom. I don't want to put you through some foolish test." Then a shaft of light shot through my soul, igniting my eyes with fire. God stood me up, and I threw the book back in his chest. I said, "Isaac, I'll not compare God's miracles versus Satan's. The issue's not God's kingdom and Satan's lair. The real comparison is the condition of your soul and the condition of mine, and you puppet of the devil, that I will compare." I said, "My friend, one day they're coming for you. The soft associates in your incantations, the friendly demons you think you now control. The time will come when you'll be lying in bed, wheezing like a dying animal, when those spirits lay claim to the rights they own to your soul. Then the room will grow dark, and the most hideous evil faces you've ever seen will come flaming out of the floor with a yell. The vile informants that promised reincarnation will claw your spirit and victoriously drag your soul to hell." Then I grabbed the book and says, "In that moment, which mantra, which incantation are you gonna chant to tell them to leave you alone?" I said, "My friend, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what I would say. I am bought with the blood of Jesus. Let me go." I said, "Isaac, when you tossed that book in my lap, you gloated with a sinister victory. You rejoiced when you saw your name in black and white. Now I rejoice, but not that your council of demons are subject to Jesus, but that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Then Isaac jumped up from his chair and screamed, "You must leave now!" I says, "I will, but one last obligation. Next time, think twice before you rumble with a man of God. And by the way, thanks for your witch's invitation."
All right, so this is going to be more extended because I have even more standout lines for this song. Okay, so that moment where your faith feels violated, like I felt like I was Moses, and when my rod turned into a serpent, the Egyptian magicians did the same. But then he got the revelation that, "I will not compare God's miracles to Satan's magic. The difference between you and I is the condition of your soul and the condition of mine." And then those demons you think you now control will mercilessly drag your soul down to hell. And in that moment, which mantra, which incantation are you going to chant to tell them to leave you alone? And then, of course, the part where when my mom was alive, she's still alive in heaven, of course, that she would always shout at, "I know a shadow of a doubt what I would say. I am bought with the blood of Jesus. Let me go." So anyway, what's your reaction on that one?
Wow. No, that was really good. And I think for me, even watching it, it builds my faith in recognizing, you know, God's power is stronger than anyone else's. And God and Holy Spirit lives in me, right? God lives in me. So just remembering, like, I feel like for me, I can get caught up in like, "Oh, I don't want to go near that because, or I don't want to do that," or like, "I don't even want to, I don't want to associate," right? And forgetting the power of God. Now, there are some things where it's like, you know, if that's a struggle you deal with, whatever it is, then not to fall into that. But like, or like still not to feed into it necessarily, but to stand firm. It's like for him going to the witch's, you know, house, it wasn't to feed into what the witch was doing, but it was to witness in the gospel of Christ. Right. So that's, I think that was a good showcasing of what it should be when we do go into those situations. Right. So it's like, if I'm in a situation where it's either I should be there to witness, or if it's something where it's like, no, I'd be partaking, I don't want to do that. So there's a difference there. So that was a good reminder. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. What you just said, of course, is that the struggle he had in the intro of, you know, like any good little faithful Christian would do, I said, there ain't no way I'm going to go. But then the Holy Spirit told him otherwise. Keyword. The Holy Spirit told him otherwise. So if the Holy Spirit told you not to go, do not go. If the Holy Spirit does tell you to go, you know, in the same way that Elijah was called before Jezebel or Moses was called before Pharaoh, you got to answer the call. Or like Samuel was called before Saul. The examples go on and on. But basically, here's the other big question for you, because this is a huge challenge for us as Christians, especially when we're trying to keep ourselves pure. If you had a similar calling, which we know you won't, because we know that only God empowers us, but Jesus went to the very depths of hell to take back the keys of death and Hades. So if he could go to those extremes, you know, what's holding us back from going to any other part of the globe to, you know, be a witness in the area that God called us to? Because the danger that we have as Christians is if we're going into spaces that we were not called to, the devil can eat us alive. But if we're going into spaces that God called us to, like one example comes to mind is, you know about missionary Hudson Taylor?
No.
Okay, so he was a white missionary back in history who he disguised himself in Chinese attire and snuck into China in order to get the gospel into China. How does that make you feel that if God were to call you in that sort of area, would it make you fearful? Would it make you hopeful? Or would you be like somewhere in the middle and just have to depend on the Holy Spirit, almost like how Abraham had to depend that God wasn't going to make him kill his own son?
Yeah, no, that's good. I think that's the thing. I think if God called me into it and I knew God called me into it, or I was believing God called me into it, I feel like there would be a nervousness up front, right? A fearfulness up front. And that's, I would have to pray, like, God, you don't have to help me because this and this and that, you know, those kind of things. But I still believe I would have hope that he called me there for a reason. Yeah. So that means he would cover me, he would do what he wanted to do there. Yep. With me, you know, so like that's how, versus like if I just felt like I should, or like someone told me I should, then I feel like there'd be a hardcore, or there would definitely be more fearfulness, because then I'm not sure like if God's going to cover me or what's going to happen. But if God called me to do it, I feel like I would, you know, have more hope with who would do. Now, that's not to say I wouldn't be nervous, because of course it would depend, but I think I would have a lot more hope because there's a reason God called me to. I think that's the biggest thing for me. It's like, I know he did it for a reason, you know, so there has to be something that's going to happen that's going to be good.
The last video showed you what to do if you're invited into Satan's space. Now, this video is going to show you what to do if Satan invites himself into your space. So this is called No Monsters by Carmen.
Just a little kid, I saw a scary movie about a crazy lunatic, you see. He tried to kill these people on vacation with an axe, then I'd imagine that this dude was after me. Well, laying in my bed that night, afraid and wide awake, I promise you I saw a shadow move. But when I felt an evil spirit, that was it. I knew right then exactly what to do. I took authority in Christ. All fear flew away.
Oh my, oh my.
I stood bold as a lion and ran it off when it heard me say,
what did you say? Don't want no monsters in my house tonight. Don't want no monsters in my house. You won't get me screaming. You're nothing but a demon. It's time for you to go now.
there's this creepy guy, the alligator man. I watch him as he chases and he hunts this peaceful family through the woods with only one thing on his mind. He wants to eat their little kid for lunch. I got so weirded out, I couldn't sleep. Then it happened. An evil spirit floated by my bed. I could hardly believe the nerve of this little punk demon. I thought, hey, all right, that's it. You're dead. I got righteously indignant. I was going to make that demon pay. The anointing came upon me. I chased it out when it heard me say,
what did you say? Don't want no monsters in my house tonight. Don't want no monsters in my house. You won't get me screaming. You're nothing but a demon. It's time for you to go now. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I'm protected by the Lord of hosts. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want the monsters in my house tonight.
No Monsters by Carmen. You know what's the word the Lord gave me concerning your life while you were reacting to that? Based on what you said in the beginning of the show, how some may call it laziness, other may call it wisdom, you know, it's all depending on who the person is. But you don't want to have to go through the trouble of filtering the water before drinking it. You just want to go straight to the fountain of life and get it directly from the source. Now, I'm not saying that that's the answer for everybody to do, but that's the answer that the Holy Spirit has given you directly to do, and that's what you're being obedient to. So in the same way where you didn't want to have to deal with the consequences of having watched something and then inviting spirits from that to now have to wrestle with in your own home, you want to create an environment like we read in Deuteronomy 6 earlier of you're inviting the spirit to live within the walls of your home and within the walls of your temple, which is your body. And that's the kind of atmosphere you want to continue to entertain moving forward. But now give us your reactions on this song.
No, that's so good because that's literally what I was thinking. Like, praise God. Because, like, that's literally what I was thinking. Because in this, I will say that it gave me, I feel like for me, it encouraged me and gave me more faith and courage in believing that I'm God's child and that I can say those things. And I've seen it, you know, saying in Jesus' name, demons to go, and I've seen them flee, and I've, you know, but I think for me, it encouraged me more because it's interesting that this music video is literally how sleep paralysis started for me. Mm-hmm. I watched, it wasn't even a scary movie. It was like a, you know, a thriller, or what do they call it? What's the other one? It was Disturbia, but I forgot the mystery and suspense, I think. It was the genre. Mm-hmm. But it was Disturbia, and I remember it was on Halloween night. You know, we wanted to watch something, whatever. And that night was, it was either that night or the next night when sleep paralysis started coming on me all the time. It would be great to have seen this music video back then, you know. But so it's interesting that that happened. So it was great to see that he has this out there for Christians to see and know that they can command demons to go in Jesus' name because he's giving us that authority. And because Holy Spirit dwells in us, I love how he says that as well. And I love how he showed him picking up the Bible, because even Jesus used scripture to combat the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness. So we've been using the Bible, and I've had to do that in my own life. But yeah, exactly what you said. I was also thinking, why does he keep watching these movies? Like, right. Like, I mean, like, stop watching them, and then they won't come in the first place for you to have to battle. Because I was thinking about, like, what about open doors? Like, when you partake in some things, there could be an open door. Yes, you could say, devil, go in Jesus' name because you're saved. But then now you've been taunted or attempt or, what's the word? Like, my gosh, why am I slipping? But basically, you've been
testing the spirits, tempting.
Not even tested. It was. It's basically like not. It doesn't matter. now this demon has come after you, or whatever. Right. And yeah, you can command it to go, but just the fact that you had to go through that fear, like you didn't have to. Right. But I do. I mean, that's just in my own thinking because it was so awful for me. I don't want to have to go through that again. Right. I do that a lot in my life. But yeah, that's what I was thinking. But of course, sometimes we're in situations where we don't have a choice. So for example, if you know, we were at a family member's house, and that's just what they were watching, or something like that. Mm. You know, it's like sometimes we don't have a choice, and sometimes things can occur. But to know that, you know, we can command them to leave in Jesus' name. But yeah, for me, I'd rather just keep it. Don't watch those movies.
Right.
Sorry, one more example. Again, if you struggle with lust, you know, or porn or whatever, and there's a billboard just all on your face,
right?
You know, that's something you can't control. So that's where you have to go to God and like and command demons to go off lust and stuff like that. But yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now, in reverse, King David, it's staying home that got him in trouble with Bathsheba. Yeah. So, same spirit, but two different scenarios. So, again, I cannot stress the importance of the Holy Spirit. Even going back to the book of Proverbs, where it says, "Answer a fool according to their folly, otherwise they'll appear wise in their own eyes." But then the very next verse, or the very previous verse says, "Do not answer a fool according to their folly, otherwise you'll look foolish." So, how do you know which is the right one? The Holy Spirit. In the same way where you kind of stress over what am I going to say, what I'm going to do, when your gift brings you before kings, as the book of Proverbs says, as God also says, he will give you the utterance when the time is right. You can stress all you want, you can plan all you want, but as the other proverb says, it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So the Holy Spirit really, for lack of a better term, trumps everything we know as Christians, and has to be our ultimate source in every situation whatsoever. Doesn't mean we're going to have the same answer in every situation, but we are going to have the same source. And as long as we're connected to that source, which is the Holy Spirit, that's how we got our lives in knowing what to consume, what not to consume, what to entertain, what not to entertain. But anyway, all that being said, what's your thoughts been on the totality of the show? And then we'll get out of here.
Everything that we do should be for the glory of God. So if God tells you to go into this space where, you know, and then naturally you wouldn't think to, that's for the glory of God. And if he tells you not to, that's for the glory of God. So I think that's the biggest, like, thing to remember here. It's like, is what we're going to do next going to honor God, and is that acting in obedience? Are we going to please him, or are we going to not please him? Yes. And I think that's, for me, that was the biggest takeaway to remember. And it does depend on each person, because God has different callings for us, you know. So, yeah, but I think this has been really good, and it was a great discussion, and, yeah, great thing to think about. Again, going to go look at more Carmen's videos, because they're really, I feel like they're like sermons in a fun way. Like, I don't, like, this is like what people need to hear. Like, it's just all in this one video. So, anyway,
Right. Anyhow, glad you enjoyed the show. Turn people towards your YouTube channel where they can find more of your commentary, because I think it's much needed, and then we'll sign off.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so my YouTube channel is Cody Terry. So it's literally, I think it's youtube.com/Cody Terry. You should be able to write, and then, or it doesn't matter. Cody Terry is who I am. You can just look it up. I think it's youtube.com. So yeah, I post a lot about what I'm growing or what I'm learning about in my Christian walk and what God's kind of given in my heart and different lessons that I've learned myself, and I'm just kind of sharing them in my own story. So yeah. Check it out.
So go check her out, COTY, then separate word TERRY. She's got messages, she's got music, she's got scriptures, whatever you need on this spiritual walk of life, she's going to be there for you, okay? All right. God bless you, Sister Cody. Thanks so much for coming back. We hope to have you back in the future sometime. And peace and blessings, y'all. Thanks for listening.
See my homie.
My man, what's up?
Hey, have you heard 8 to J?
Hey,
to what? What you talking?
I heard
talking
about my ABCs.
A to J.
Come on,
J. I heard an A.
As in,
A to Z.
Are you A to J?
That sound like a Kim. Kim is like H2O or some H2O.
Let me take you to school. Give me a J.
Yeah. J. You got your J.
Give me an E.
You know it.
Give me an S-U-S.
You know,
boys, what does it spell? What am I saying? It's going down.
Good. find love in the club.
Yeah.
And so she up in the club with thugs in the club, the roll in the club.
Yeah.
And so she's strolling the club, she's drinking it up to the point where she buzz.
Yeah.
Now she been on the run, forgotten the sun, plus all of a star
right then.
So she falling away, she falling away, but he's calling today.
He's calling y'all,
he keeps calling her name. She crawling away now from all of his grace. And plus it's all been the same. She falling ashamed from going away.
Yeah.
So she goes, and she prays. She hopes she can change. She's hearing him say that.
Any place that you are, you still come back.
Right,
never too far.
Run with the crowd, he runs with them now, but he running about.
Yeah, that's right.
They having fun and they bounce. They go up in the house, get drunk and they loud.
That's what they do.
Now they pouring it out, they pouring their mouth, they pouring it down.
Yeah. Then what?
He's joining them now, he's enjoying it now. These boys with him now.
Come on.
You see, he knows what is right. He was rolling with Christ, but they rolled in his life.
What?
What's now he goes every night and he goes and he fights. He's rolling the dice.
Yeah.
You see, he's chosen a life, but deep in his mind, man, his soul isn't right.
Nah,
he keeps closing his eyes, he's going so blind, trying to run for the light, but
any place that you are, you still come back.
Right, never too far,
you still come back.
What you gotta do is call. Thinking it's hard, you thinking you scarred.
No,
now you thinking you called, you thinking a guard, he would put up a wall.
Nah, it's not true.
But don't think that at all, cause the big and the small, he's there for us, y'all.
That's right, yeah.
He's right there if you fall, he's there with his arms to hear him when he calls,
come
saying,
on. Any place that you are, you still come back.
Right, never too far,
you still come back.
What you gotta do is call. Wanna listen cause your head hard, and you ain't gonna get far unless you try to make a comeback like your breath fall.
Damn right,
you gon' crash and get scarred. Watch it smash down the pieces and then shards. I try to tell you to get guard, but you don't try to listen, dude, so you fell hard.
So
you go with your own way, and you don't listen to anything that they gon' say. You know how to play the whole game. You throw it out, bring it back like a boomerang.
It's
like you're dealing with the whole pain. It's like drilling in your teeth without the Novocaine. Well, you can try going your own way, but my advice is to hear what he was gonna say.
Any place that you are, you can still come back.
You ain't never too far,
you can still come back.
All you gotta do is call,
you can still come back.
Even if it seems hard,
you can still come back.
Any place that you are,
you can still come back.
You ain't never too far,
you can still come back.
All you gotta do is call,
you can still come back.
Even if it seems hard,
you can still come back.
I'm not sure what you wanna do.
Sure.
Do you run the crowd or is the crowd running you?
You don't even know.
You don't know what you're running to, and it shows cause I can't even see the sun in you.
I love you, boy.
I don't see none in you. You remember everything that he brought you through. Do you think that you can just stumble through your whole life acting like it's really just nothing, dude?
So what, man?
Oh, he really gotta humble you, break you down and just show you now what to do. Check it out, cause the greater was the love for you than the one that the sun went and just done for you.
Really, man?
But really, what you gonna choose? Really, fam, now tell me what you gonna do. It's your life, so really what you gotta lose.
Yep.
Except everything, it's all up to you. Come on!
Any place that you are,
you can still come back.
You ain't never too far,
you can still come back.
All you gotta do is call,
you can still come back.
Even if it seems hard,
you can still come back.
Any place that you are,
you can still come back.
You ain't never too far,
you can still come back.
All you gotta do is call,
you can still come back.
Even if it seems hard,
you can still come back.
You won't even bother to pray, and it's hard, especially when you're falling away. You're falling astray, your backslidden condition. It's never too late to fall back in position. If you can make an initial comeback, all you gotta do is sign the initial contract. But you would rather appease men following their ways instead of trying to please him.
Any face that you all, you can still come back. You ain't never too far, you can still come back. All you gotta do is call, you can still come back. Even if it seems hard, you can still come back. Any place that you all, you can still come back. You ain't never too far, you can still come back. All you gotta do is call, you can still come back. Even if it seems hard, you can still come back.
T-minus 27 seconds. We have gone for redundant set sequencer start. T-minus 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15, 14, 13. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. We've gone for main engine start.
A rotating sphere perfectly suspended in the center of the universe. The ultimate creation from an infinite mind. An unbelievably intricate, complex design. A supernatural testimony and an irrefutable sign that there is a God. The size, position, and angle of the Earth is a scientific phenomenon to see. A few degrees closer to the sun, we'd disintegrate. A few degrees further, we'd freeze. The axis of the Earth is tilted at a perfect 23-degree angle. It's no mistake that it is. This allows equal global distribution to the rays of the sun, making it possible for the food chain to exist. Or take, for example, the combination of nitrogen and oxygen in the atmosphere we breathe every day. It just happens to be the exact mix that life needs to prosper. It doesn't happen on any other planet that way. You see, the Bible says the invisible things of God are clearly seen through His creation. To believe this is not hard. If there's a design, there's a designer. If there's a plan, there's a planner. And if there's a miracle, there is a God. There is a hope. There is a light. There is an answer to all answers.
There is a flame that burns in the night. And I know.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. If we allow our minds to drink in all the truth that just surrounds us, creation itself will help us understand. Did you know the moon controls the tides? It's the maid that cleans the oceans. Even the waves don't crash the shores in vain. The tides drag impurities into the depths of the sea. It's nature's constant recycling chain. It simply boggles the mind to think that the stars will rotate with such exact precision that it's true that the atomic clock with an error factor of less than 3 seconds per millennium is set by the way they move. Though they silently orbit, the sun, the moon, the stars are like celestial evangelists above who circle the earth every 24 hours shouting in every language that there is a God. Wedge under the foundation of our faith, trying to topple our relationship with Christ.
When the fool said in his heart there is no God, he rejects the truth God painted on the canvas of the night. Atheism has never created an artistic masterpiece, never healed a fatal disease or calmed the fear. Atheism has never still given answers to our existence, peace to a troubled mind, or even dried a tear. For it's God who created heaven and earth and flung the stars in space and breathed in a handful of dirt and became a man. It's God who sits on the circle of the earth and measures the mountains in a scale and holds the seven seas in the